Well, we are today rejoicing that the tomb is empty, that Jesus has transformed a place that is associated with death and grief into a place of wonder and amazement at God's power. We are in an era now after Jesus' resurrection that is marked with renewal and restoration. And we are able, because Jesus was raised from the dead, to have confidence in our lives that we too will be raised. And so in this life, we may outwardly be wasting away, we are, yet we are looking forward to resurrection bodies, a life everlasting, and being renewed in a totally new creation. This morning, our passage is not from a traditional Easter passage. We're going to stay in our book of Isaiah as we listen to the prophet speak about the future day of the resurrection, the restoration, the renewal of all creation. Cheryl, would you come and read God's word for us this morning?
Let us pray. Our Lord, as we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, we ask your guidance through Pastor Tom to apply these words to our lives to celebrate you each and every day. We thank you for all that we have and all that we are is by your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reading from Isaiah 35, 1 through 10, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lamb leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're familiar with the second law of thermodynamics that says in a closed system that things progress from order to disorder. And we know that in all kinds of areas of our lives, right? We know that in our homes. And so we're saddened when the home that we thought was just right comes back and it's now dusty and dirty and things aren't where they're supposed to be anymore. We know that in relationships and all kinds of areas, that things tend to progress from order to disorder. And that's why we spend so much of our times and our lives trying to reverse that cycle, trying to take things back to order. That means cleaning, that means repairing, that means renovating, and that is in a closed system. Well, friends, we on earth do not live in a closed system. We live in a system that has God Almighty outside of our system. And as a God who's outside of our system intervenes and comes in to this world and brings renewal and restoration of all things. On Easter Sunday, we rejoice that our God is a God who brings a new creation, a God who resurrects, right? Who takes what is dead and lifeless and brings a life and glory everlasting to Jesus and to all who follow him. We rejoice today that death does not have the last word, that there is a joy that overtakes our sorrow, that there is a beauty that comes out of ashes, and that there is a restoration of all things. So Isaiah writes in his prophecy about that day that things will be made right again and beautiful and good out of the sorrow, the sadness, and the turmoil of this world. And that makes a lot of sense for us because we can look at this passage through the eyes of Jesus' resurrection. When we talk about Jesus' resurrection, we know that all united with him share in that resurrection now and await our resurrection bodies. So I have 3 points. First one is going to be how the resurrection transforms the desert into a garden. And then we'll look at the resurrection transforms the feeble into the leaping. And lastly, that resurrection transforms sorrow into joy. So first, let's look at the desert to the garden. Isaiah tells us that when creation is freed from that captivity to decay, that it is going to be brought into joy and flourishing. If you remember back in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the result of that sin was death. And that not only affected them and all their descendants, including us, but it also affects all of creation. Creation itself was subjected to frustration, to turmoil, to things not going the way they were supposed to go. So the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, everything has been affected by what we call the fall of humanity into a broken relationship with God. But now, something new happened. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect person, the perfect man, he came from God the Father. He entered from eternity into our system and brought a new era. He, through his crucifixion and his resurrection, broke the curse that had been stated with Adam and Eve. And now what was barren is now fruitful. What was desert is now garden. When Isaiah was talking about that desert and it bursting forth into a beautiful garden, I had in my mind a picture of Death Valley, California, a place of extreme heat and extreme cold, a place of barrenness, dryness. Only a few hardy plants survive in that condition, in that environment. But God will transform something as barren as Death Valley into a place that is better than Longwood Gardens. Just bursting with color, with fragrance, with life, and life in its abundance. It's going to be a place of refreshment and enjoyment with streams bursting forth in the desert, bringing life. In Isaiah's world, he didn't know about Longwood Gardens, but he talked about Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon. And these were the Israeli equivalent to a well-watered, beautiful place. As we read the scriptures, you're probably familiar with Lebanon and its trees, the cedars of Lebanon. And these were stately trees used for the most magnificent building projects like the Temple of the Living God. They used cedars from Lebanon. And these trees can be as old, scientists say, as 2,000 years. So they kind of rival those redwoods in California for their majesty, their beauty, and their antiquity. They're thriving. What a picture. The struggle of the desert, a place of death, into a picture that has been now overwhelmed by beauty and steadiness and glory and flourishing. Secondly, let's look at the resurrection transforms the feeble to the leaping. Christ's resurrection gives to us strength and new life. The proof of his resurrection grants us confidence in God's salvation and our future resurrection. Resurrection is the reversal of all the elements of the curse, including our bodily diseases and deformities. Now from the crucifixion and burial bursts forth a life powerful and glorious, gleaming and astonishing. And this new life is eternal life. When Jesus was resurrected, it wasn't just a brief resuscitation. It wasn't just an extension for a couple more years. He had eternal life. He was walking around in Israel for another 40 days, and he ascended on high in his resurrection body. And that means, friends, that when we get to heaven, when we in our resurrection bodies, or when Christ comes in, we're going to see his body. We're going to see his resurrection body with our own eyes. And we, too, will be given a body that is immortal, that is imperishable, that is fantastically just working the right way. No more aches and pains. I talk to you guys a lot, and I hear about bad knees and bad backs. I hear about colds, and that's the frustration we live in this world. But we're looking forward when all that is reversed, when all that is undone and made new. And then we will see the Lord with eyes that behold wonders we have never seen before. Then we'll be able to speak like we have never spoken before. We'll be able to hear the voice of our Creator with our own ears. And we will have the strength to leap like a deer. God gives resurrection hope today. That when we join Christ as he broke forth from the tomb, we too will have resurrection bodies. No more affected by sin or sorrow or suffering, but a life covered with the righteousness and the glory of Jesus himself. That includes all that we suffer now, the imperfections in the resurrection. They will be made whole, complete, shalom. My third point is the resurrection of Jesus transforms sorrow to joy. That first Easter morning, we catch the excitement of the women who went to the tomb with heavy hearts, with tears in their eyes, looking for the body of their beloved rabbi, only to be greeted by an empty tomb, an angel announcing that he is not here, but he is risen. And they abandon their spices that they were going to anoint a body with, and they rush with breathless excitement to tell the disciples that he is risen. And those first followers, their hearts burst within them with amazement, with excitement, and so do our hearts as well. For we have been brought from the depths of despair into the rapturous joy of new life. And the pain and the sorrow of Good Friday now makes sense, now is complete in the resurrection. If the story stopped at Good Friday, we'd be left with confusion and it would look pointless and meaningless. But because of Easter Sunday, when he rose from the dead in victory, that all makes sense, that was God's plan of salvation and to reverse everything that was wrong and bring forth a new life and a new future. Friends, the message of Easter is a message to our hearts that death did not win, but it has been conquered by the Lamb, that death and sin is now a defeated foe, that Jesus has trampled them by his resurrection feet. The resurrected Jesus now goes before us and leads us to a place of no more sorrow or sighing, a future that is good and thriving. As those who live on this side of the gospel story, we have much joy because we have a bright future ahead of us. This means that we are a people of hope. We have a sure confidence of a better eternity and the ability to endure the sufferings now, even with joy, because we know that God will take all the sorrow and suffering and work them in his grand plan for wonder, good, for perfection. So we can say, even though they slay us, yet we will praise him. So how do I want us to apply the Easter message today? Well, two words: trust and joy. Some of you have come here today, some of us, I should say, have come here today without much hope, or at least nothing that we're really sure about. Well, the gospel message longs for us to have a sure and transforming hope that God will heal all our diseases, that he will heal all of our weakness, and he will grant us the desires of our hearts. This church wants us all to be walking in the way of holiness together that Isaiah spoke about, a highway where everyone who is made holy, even as God is holy, is pursuing and walking towards the heavenly Jerusalem, the holy Zion. On this highway, there will be no unrighteous people, no wicked, nobody who's unclean or impure. And none of us could be on this highway on our own merits. None of us have satisfied that requirement. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ in his righteousness covers over all of our sin, all of that condemning sin within us, and has made us righteous in his righteousness. And so we are welcomed on this highway. We are brought here by the Spirit's power, and we are walking steadily towards those wonderful gates of glory. Friends, we walk this highway, and we do pass through dangers. And yet we don't walk it alone. We have a God who is with us, a God who is protecting us, a God who is there to go with us, and so we do not fear. This world we know, as Martin Luther said in his hymn, is filled with the devils, and the devil in 1 Peter is talked about as a roaring lion. And sometimes that scares us to have a lion. We're vulnerable, and he seems so scary, and we can see his teeth. He's close to us. We can feel his breath, and yet we have no fear. That's what Isaiah's message is don't fear, because God is coming. He's coming with vengeance, and he's coming to save you. He is coming to rid the devil and throw him in a lake of fire. He is a defeated enemy, and he was defeated by the cross and the resurrection. So, friends, we have joy today that even though we presently suffer, God is going to work it into a glory that far outweighs the tininess of it is that it really is in the scope of eternity. So that means our suffering today is no longer hopeless. It's no longer meaningless. That it will be redeemed. God will work it together in his perfect plan, as he did Christ's resurrection, so it will be with our stories as well. And it also gives us courage that we can face the brokenness and the ugliness and the sins that are within our hearts and bring them to God. Yes, we know he already sees them, but as we bring it into the light and bring it to the Lord, he redeems it and makes it into something beautiful. Well, I hope that we all have that hope this morning, that trust in Jesus for salvation, and with that trust comes joy. Friends, joy overtakes the sorrow. Joy overtakes the grief that we pass through. Joy because Jesus' resurrection brings a new day, a new brightness, a new light into this world. And we do not fear the darkness because the light has overcome the darkness. And so the joy has overcome the fear in our lives. So that's the last little application I have for us today. Is perhaps you're here today walking the way of holiness, but your hands are tired. They're drooping. Perhaps your knees are failing you. Perhaps your heart is in fear. It's hasty. It's anxious about a lot of things. Well, God, who resurrected Jesus, says, do not be afraid. Be strong. The God who rose Jesus from the dead is living in you. And he is powerful. And even though you are not, he is, and he is your shepherd, and he is your overcomer. And he makes you more than an overcomer, friends. He makes you, by the power of his spirit, an overcomer over the sin and the death that is battling in this world today, because we are in Christ. We are God's children. Let us be those who do not wake up in the morning and say, woe is me, because I am weak. Let us be those who wake up in the morning praising God that he is enough, that his strength is enough in our weakness, and that we look forward to saying, okay, how are we going to see the resurrected Lord work in us and through us today in our community, in our spaces, because he is making all things new, and he has promised to turn the ashes to beauty. He has promised to turn the sorrow to joy. He has promised to open the eyes of the blind and to strengthen the weak knees that give way. Those are God's promises. He will do it. And we are looking forward each day to how he's doing that. And even while we are in this, before Christ's kingdom is in its completeness, we are looking forward to that future day of resurrection, because it's coming. And it's going to be far beyond all that we can ask or imagine in God's glory. Friends, let us be people who trust in Jesus, his death and his resurrection, and let us be filled with joy. Let's pray. O Redeemer, Lord, we do thank you that you have, in mercy, come to us in humility, and you have bought us and redeemed us and made us new in Jesus Christ. Honestly, though, sometimes we feel that, and sometimes we struggle to feel that. So give us the faith to trust where we do not see. Give us the knowledge that what all we grieve and sorrow and suffer today will one day be turned to joy when you return, and maybe even sooner. We thank you that you are a God who resurrects dead to life for Jesus, but for all of us who are called your children as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.